What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good morning. I am joined this morning on our Smart Garden Show by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
Is it thundering where you are?
It was just a second ago, thundering and lightning. So it's
I have a feeling we may be interrupted a little bit by that noise from time to time.
But, I think so. Think of it as atmospheric background.
Oh, I like that.
We're setting the tone.
Yeah. And my lawn likes that too, by the
Your
way.
Your lawn likes that. I was thinking we probably won't have to talk much about watering our trees and shrubs.
No, and that's okay with me.
Okay with me, yep.
Yeah, no talk of watering bans or anything around here.
Nope.
If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we urge you to do it earlier rather than later because, as Teresa knows, we get so busy. We generally, well, quite honestly, we can't even get to everything because we get so busy.
So call or text in early so we can get to you. Because I want to answer your question because I appreciate you all helping me with my addiction to a gardening.
And 651-461-9226. Of course, you and I like to talk for good reason about you being a master gardener. Mm-hmm. But there's a good reason why we wanted to talk about that. What's going on? There's an application for those interested. Tell us more about this.
So if you've ever thought, I want to become a master gardener, now is your time to apply. So applications will be taken from now until October 1st. And so you need to get it in. It's quite easy. You can go to the university website, extension.umn.edu, click on the garden tab, go down to how to be a master gardener. It'll talk you right through it. But a master gardener is someone who loves to garden, wants to learn research-based information, and then share that information with their community. And we do that in a variety of ways, from staffing booths to presenting talks to teaching children to working on farmers markets to working in community gardens and other things. We do a lot of other things out there. So if you're interested in becoming a master gardener, now is the time to apply. You can sign up. It's a simple process. There is a fee. However, financial help is available. The fee is $340 to $399, but there is financial aid available because anyone who wants to be a master gardener, we do everything we possibly can to open those doors for you. So you would take the core course in starting in January, and it's all online, so you can do that at any time you want. It's a self-directed course or self-taught course. Not taught. You don't have to teach yourself. You just take the classes. And we also have a Zoom in-person live or a Zoom live once or twice a week that you have an option to attend if you prefer more talking to hear your fellow master gardeners and working through each lesson together. So there's that option too. So please come and join the Master Gardener program. We would love to have you. And the master gardeners are really needed. A lot of people are wanting to garden or houseplants or grow great lawns, attract pollinators, be eco-friendly. So come and join us and learn how to do that and then share that information out.
Yeah, you are educators after all. That's what we
want to do.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask you to mention that again before you take your leave today. In the meantime, already we're getting stacked with text questions. If you want to call in and chat with Teresa, that's great too. 651-461-9226. Is it too late in the season, Texas says, to fertilize perennials like knockout rose and corabel, and when to plant allium and daffodil bulbs? A couple of questions.
The fertilizing, I would say you're almost too late, but if you're in northern Minnesota where your season ends a little sooner, I'd say you're too late. If you're in southern Minnesota where our season goes a little bit longer, I'd say do it this weekend if you possibly can, like between when the rain isn't raining out there. Hop out, put down your fertilizer, hop back into the house and have a cup of tea. But I wouldn't wait until next weekend. If you're waiting till next weekend, just forget the fertilizer for this week, for this year. If you want to top off with a light layer of compost, that would be okay. The allium and daffodil bulbs. Yeah. Sorry, I forget. Short-term memory. as soon as you find them in the garden centers in your location, you can go ahead and plant them. Daffodils are best planted earlier, and tulips you can plant until the ground is frozen, almost frozen.
I had a similar question last week about cauliflower plants have died. 3 of 9 have died. None of them have produced anything. The outer leaves full of holes and dry. Should all the plants just be pulled up? And do you think the white butterfly killed them, maybe?
Those holes are probably from the caterpillar of the white butterfly. You are correct. At this time of year, I just pull them up, plant something for the fall. Maybe you want to grow some spinach or some lettuce or some peas or something like that where you can get a quick crop out of that. Go ahead and use that or just add some compost into your soil and just let the soil remain silent for the rest of the season for you, remain bare. But yeah, you're not going to get cauliflower anymore. If the leaves are okay and you want to chop them up and eat them, you can do that too. However, most of us, when they're full of holes, kind of say yuck and don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Let's take a phone call this morning, Teresa. Pam checking in from Minnetonka, I believe, this morning. Morning, Pam. What is your question?
Hi. Good morning. I have patty pan squash that is not blooming any females. I just have all male blossoms, and mm-hmm. my beans are really slow this year. Hi, Teresa, it's me.
I know it's you, Pam. Hi.
So my beans
so what's
are
the problem?
Scrawny. I get a couple every week, but mostly I'm interested in patty pan squash.
Mm-hmm. Can you Yep, I can help you with that. Thanks for calling, Pam. The problem with the squashes that you may be seeing this time of year is we've had so many rainy days, so many overcast days, that the plants are just kind of slow. They want it hot, sunny. They need that extra sunlight. So they're kind of slow on what they're doing. And with most of the squash plants and cucumbers and things like that, the first flowers that come out are the male flowers, and the male flowers are attracting your pollinators in there. So if you don't have pollinators, that will also slow things down. But because the whole system is so slow, it's just on like a 0.50 if you're watching a YouTube. It's just going really slow. So what you can do is once those flowers come out, if we don't get some more sun, what you can do is once those male flowers come out, give them a day or two and then pluck them off. That may just signal the plant to grow more flowers, and that may speed up the process a little bit. We've got time for maybe the patty pan squash to keep going and zucchini to keep going. Once you see a female flower, if you're not seeing pollinators around your yard, then you may need to take a male flower and brush it up against the female flower to get that pollination going, and that might then work for you. But yep, the male flowers come out first, then the female flowers slowly come out. But if you're not seeing activity and everything seems a little slow, just pick off those male flowers after a day or two and help to try to speed up the plant a little bit and hope for some bright sunny days. That will help too. The pole beans, probably the same thing, and you might not be seeing pollinators because the pollinators can't fly in weather like we're having today, like the really rainy weather. So the pollinators can't fly with all those rain too. Good question, Pam. Thanks for that.
Teresa, I'm going to alert a couple of callers. Jerry and Mickey, hang on the line. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll pick up on your phone calls and more text messages on our Smart Garden Show this morning, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is answering those questions for you this morning at 651-461-9226. Teresa, we promised callers we would pick up on their questions and then get some text questions answered too. Jerry in Princeton, first up here. Jerry, thanks for hanging on. What is your question?
Well, I have 4 maple trees that the roots are growing out above the ground, around the ground. And I've mulched about an 8-foot circle around the trees, but there's still some roots. Can I cover them with dirt and whatever, or what can I do about that? I'm running over them with my lawnmower.
Jerry, that's a really good question. We get this one a lot. Maple trees like to have shallow roots. They like to have the roots right at or above the soil level, a lot of those roots. So you would not, I love the idea of the mulch around the tree. That's so helpful. One hint before we go on, pull the mulch away from the trunk of the tree so you have like a 3-inch bare spot all around the tree, like a donut. Just pull that back a little bit. Those roots are going to continue to come up in your lawn, so you can either increase the mulched area, which is maybe something you want to do or not do, or just maybe weed whack that area instead of going with your lawnmower. But no, you can't really cover it with the soil. The roots will just keep coming up. It's just how maples grow. So if that's not going to work for you, you can always take the trees down or consider just adding more mulch and then maybe putting in a woodland garden between the roots. Add some hostas and things like that to give you some extra green out there. Good luck with that, Jerry, and that's a really good question.
Very good. Let's check in with Mickey, calling in from Minnetonka. Mickey, thank you. What is your question for Teresa?
Good morning. My grandsons and I planted a few pumpkins, and we have just gorgeous vines and lots of beautiful yellow flowers and bees going crazy on them. And
uh-oh, we might have lost her. Oh. I'm guessing no pumpkins.
No pumpkins. Should I be, at this point, should I just pull them out?
Or you can just let them grow there. You're not going to get a pumpkin to come to full ripeness. That's just too late in the season. Maybe the plants just got a little too late a start with all of the weather we've been having. They're just kind of slow. You can take those pumpkin flowers and stuff them like you would zucchini flowers. So you could do that or you can into things like that. The pumpkin leaves are edible too. I would check and figure out how to use them and when to use them. But yep, Mickey, you're not going to get pumpkins this year. Farmers markets and pumpkin fields are probably where you're going to have to go. Good luck.
Okay. Let's take one more call before we get back to the text messages. Sharon is calling from Eden Prairie this morning. Thank you for holding on, Sharon. What is your question?
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a problem with my clematis. They seem to be getting brown. I know one, the rabbits ate it down off the vine, but they're just getting brown and not producing any longer.
Yep. So Sharon, that's a good question. It happens a lot to our clematis, or often to our clematis, in the very humid weather that we have. Some clematis are more susceptible to others, and what you're seeing is clematis wilt, W-I-L-T. You can go onto the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and learn more about it. But your options are, once the clematis starts wilting, just cut that clematis stem off. Take it out of there. If you can get some more air circulation into the area, that would be good. Do take care of it. Keep watering it. It will normally re-sprout from the roots. And then you may want to see, if it happens every year, you may want to change to a different clematis that is not susceptible to wilt. The extension website has some ideas about planting. You plant a little deeper so you have a bigger root area. But that is wilt, W-I-L-T. And yes, the squirrels and the bunnies can break the branches too. So sometimes that's what you're seeing. But you've researched that. You know what you're seeing there, and it is the wilt. Good luck with that.
You're good. Texter says this, Teresa. A friend is allowing me to take a chunk of the rhubarb plant. Is it too late to plant it is one question. Where should I plant it, and how should I plant it?
Okay, so what you want to do is do take part of that crown of the plant if you can. Go ahead and plant it now. It's fine. If it gets really hot, just take care of it a little better. You would just plant it at the same depth as it was already growing. And just it likes full sun and a very rich organic soil, meaning lots of organic matter in the soil. So when you plant it in the bright sun, dig the same depth, then plant it the same depth it was growing already, and add a lot of compost back into the soil where you're planting it. And then this fall, once the ground freezes, we're supposed to get a lot of snow. Who knows? I can't predict the weather. You may want to cover it with just a little bit of leaves once the ground freezes, just to protect the crown a little bit, and then pull that off very early in the spring because they come up nice and early. Good luck with your rhubarb.
Before we get back to the phones, texter says, how do I get rid of moss between my patio pavers?
There are products you can use to get rid of that. You do want to try to maybe get some more air circulation in there. You may want to grow some other decorative plants, some low-growing plants between. But you need to get the air circulation and then the water content down a little bit in that soil. You may want to just pull the moss because it does get slippery, and I can understand not wanting that between your pavers. Or use a moss product that you can find at the garden centers. Read and follow the directions because the label is the law. But moss grows where it's kind of not really good soil and kind of moist and maybe even a little bit dark and just moist and humid in that area. So if you can change the conditions, that helps. Good luck with that.
Let's go back to the phones. Kathy calling in from Owatonna, Minnesota this morning. Hi, Kathy. What is your question?
I have a question on black and blue salvia. Mm-hmm. I have planted them in my pots on my patio for several years, and they've done wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I have no flowers on them. They are probably 2 feet tall. I might get a bud, and then that's it. The front of my house, I have just the purple salvia, and that is full of blossoms.
Wow.
Same soil was used. Mm-hmm. What is the problem?
It could be that you just got bad plants. That sometimes happens. The seeds could have been mislabeled. It happens. Things happen. Not maliciously, they just happen out there. That salvia also might be a little more sensitive to light quality with all the overcast days we've had, and the blue salvia out front might not be as light sensitive to that. And you may have a little critter out there that likes whatever those blossoms taste like or those buds taste like, and it's sneaking in there and nibbling them off when you're not looking. I don't know that you're going to get much by the end of the season unless we get some really bright weather. That's about all I could really explain why it's happening now. And that salvia is absolutely stunning. I know the hummers and the pollinators really like that one.
Got a notice from our friend Julie Weisenhorn about the caller we had about the pumpkins. Julie says the caller can get their pumpkin fix at the farm at the Arboretum.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're growing 5 giant pumpkins, latest estimated weight 260 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Well done, Julie. Thanks for the info.
Julie,
and I know the Arb will probably have decorations, including pumpkins, too. So, and they'll probably have pumpkins out at the Apple House later in the season. I'm not promising anything, but that could happen out there. So,
yeah, we're coming up on that season, too.
We are. Right. Yummy.
I'll tell you what. I know it's time for a break. We want to hear about that weather forecast. So, Al, stand by on the phone. We'll pick up on more text messages as we move through the morning. But we'll have a look at that weather coming up here. So stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to the second half of our Smart Garden Show. We're here every Saturday, as a matter of fact. Thanks to Great Garage Floors for joining us every Saturday. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all those questions, those lawn and garden questions for you this morning. We promised Al he'd be first up here after the break. Al, thanks for hanging on. What is your question for Julie? For Teresa. Then we'll talk to Julie.
Hi, you have a great show. I have two questions. I put 10-10-10 fertilizer down on all the shrubs in the spring. Is it too late right now to use a Miracle-Gro type fertilizer on some of the plants?
They probably don't need it. If you're going to do it this weekend. Your shrubs shouldn't be needing a lot of fertilizer. That feeding in the spring should be just fine for them. If you have annual plants, go ahead and fertilize those until they're dead, until they die and you take them out. But perennials, for the most part, you want to stop feeding all your perennials right now. Stop fertilizing all your perennials.
Okay. Listener says via text, I'm thinking of planting a contender peach tree. I have heard they grow well here. Is this true, and should I plant 2 for pollination purposes?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I can speak from experience here. They grow extremely well, especially in Minneapolis. They grow well. They are a zone 4, kind of 5 plant, so they need a little protected area. You only need to plant one, so because they are self-fertile. If you want to plant another tree rather than do a contender, maybe do a Reliant or one of those instead, an alternate peach, or put in another fruit tree, another small fruit tree instead, like a cherry tree or something. But they only need one, and contender should do great for you if you have a zone 4B or a zone 5 area or protected area where you can grow it. Good luck.
Okay. Listener says this via text. I have one cherry tomato plant that someone gave me. It has grown about 4 feet tall, has many green tomatoes, but they just will not get ripe. Any suggestions?
Make it sunnier. The overcast skies are really slowing down a lot of ripening of the fruits that we're seeing out there, the fruits and veggies. So it just needs some sunshine. You just have to be patient and wait. I know there were a few years ago where we ran into a similar situation. I think it was a lot of overcast skies, but then a lot of fire smoke in the air. And it really slowed down the ripening of everything that year. And sometimes the bigger tomatoes would be on the vine so long when they started to ripen, they would go from green turning to pink, and then they just mush off. They were just too far on the vine. But keep hoping we just get some bright sunshine.
Okay. Here's a weed comment or question. I have everything, texture says, from crabgrass to dandelions to broadleaf and deep weeds overtaking my yard. Can I buy something or have a professional spray it?
You can always have a professional spray it. The crabgrass will be different. They will use a different chemical on that, or they may use a combination compared to your broadleafed weeds. The extension website, extension.umn.edu, has excellent information about weeds and how to care for them and what you may want to think about in your lawn pertaining to your weeds. I'd probably, if you're going to go after a lot of the weeds, do hand pulling when you can. That's always easy. It's a little too early to think about our fall weed killing, weed prevention, weed eradication killing. And it's so hot out there. You just read and follow the information on the labels of the products. Go to your garden center, show them pictures or tell them what weeds you have, and they will talk you through the proper information and get you to the right products if you want to do it yourself. Otherwise, please do contact a professional, make sure that they're all certified and there's somebody that your neighbor has used that's a great person or a great company. Good luck with those.
You know what else is great? That extension website, extension.umn.edu, you had mentioned. We always like to mention that. Just a tremendous resource. A lot of fun, too. I mean, just great reading.
There's so many times you can read about and you go, oh, that looks like a problem, but it's really not going to be a problem for much longer, or it's going to take care of itself, or that's something I don't have to worry about. So then you can go and, have another cup of tea or watch your favorite TV show or go take a run, whatever you like to do for fun.
Yeah, and you can run. Well, you don't have to run. You can drive to the Arboretum.
Yes.
I don't know if there's my favorite time of year to go there. Every year, every season, there's
every
always something.
Every season is. Mm-hmm.
But especially now, I think this is my favorite time of the year anyway. But,
yeah.
Lots going on at the Arb, right?
There's so much going on at the Arb. The prairie is in bloom. The roses are blooming. The turtle heads are blooming. If you don't know what that is, that can be interesting. The hibiscus, the dahlias are looking gorgeous. It's just a really great place to go. They have great art in the buildings and also outside of the buildings for garden art. There's classes going on out there. There's just so much going on. Our Arboretum is a wonderful place to go out. Take your visitors, show them how wonderful Minnesota is and the glorious stuff that we have out at the Arboretum. It's a real fantastic place to go. There's tours. There's all kinds of things going on. There's farm at the Arb doing potatoes at the Arb at the farm, I think is today or soon. I may have missed it, but there's so much information out there. Pollinators, there's the bee area. It's just an amazing place with so much information. And then there's also the research, so you can see what a low-grow mono no-mow lawn looks like, or what permeable pavers look like, or what a pollinator garden looks like, or how to arrange containers. There's just so much you can learn out at the Arboretum, or you can just go for fun and enjoy your day.
Absolutely. Is there any way, Texas says, to kill cucumber blight over the winter to get ready for next year's growing season?
It would be good if you could rotate the crops so you can plant your cukes in another area next year. Also, make sure you clean up really well. Take all of the vines out. Pull the roots if you can. And then add some compost and amend that soil before you go into the winter time. But if you can do a crop rotation, that will really help. Again, I suggest you head over to the information at the Extension site, extension.umn.edu.
Very good. Texter says this. This is the third summer for our two hydrangea bushes. They are endless summer variety. They look healthy in terms of green leaves. There are no blooms on them. I think they're smaller than they were at this time last year. The soil they are in is not ideal, but they had plenty of blooms last year. You have any thoughts on what might be going on? Is there any hope they might yet bloom this year?
If you're not seeing buds, it's probably not going to happen this year. They do like a lot of fertilizer. It's a little too late now, but you can always top dress with a little compost. Next year, as soon as the soil starts to warm and you start to see some life out of them, they do start very late in the spring, so be careful with that. But go ahead and give them some fertilizer. They do like an organic soil. They like a little more sun than you might think they like. They can be a very variable plant, so one can look very different from the other. And you just want to think, am I adding too much nitrogen to the soil? So if they're planted near your lawn and you're fertilizing your lawn, with all those leaves, they may just be getting all the nitrogen from your lawn fertilizer and not enough of the other elements that they need. And plus, we haven't had a lot of sun this year, so that could be knocking them back too. They may be a little more sensitive than other ones are.
While we're on the subject of hydrangea, I'm looking at another text. When's the best time to prune hydrangeas?
It really depends upon the hydrangea. Julie and her crew have put out a great video on the Extension website. They have great information on the Extension website about when to prune your hydrangeas, because it really depends on whether they bloom on old wood, new wood, or both. So it depends on when you're going to prune them and how you're going to prune your plants. You can also go to the Arboretum and you can see the hydrangea trial garden that they have out there, and that might give you some information too. But I would definitely go to the Extension website on that one.
Very good. Let's grab another phone call, Teresa. Barb calling in from New Brighton this morning. Hi, Barb. What's your question?
Hi, Denny. Good morning. Thank you. My husband and I enjoy your show very much,
The
Smart Garden. Real quick, if you could, Teresa, give the website again, but a little slower so I can write it down. Is it a good time now to move perennials? My husband loves to buy the sale perennials and then plant them or move them around in his garden.
Okay. The Extension website is extension, E-X-T-E-N-S-I-O-N, .U-M-N, like University of Minnesota, .E-D-U, like education. And then you want to go to the yard and garden area.
Okay, and then on that website, is there also some natural deer repellent and weed killer?
Up there, they will give you suggestions about what you can use for your weeds, and then some dealing with critters, dealing with deer. They will give you some suggestions on that. You should find some articles. That's a really good question. And as for your perennials, this, like, maybe not now because it's a thunderstorm out there, and it's, or if it's 90 degrees, those aren't good times to be moving your perennials. But now is a great time to be getting good deals at the garden centers and getting perennials into your yard to expand your gardens. It's a good time to be moving or dividing those perennials that are not blooming right now. You want to think, if a plant is blooming, I don't want to move it. If it's not blooming, I can move it then. So if they bloom in the spring, you can move them now. If they're blooming now, you want to wait until next spring to divide and move them. What you might want to do too right now is, not right now, it's it's thundering, but when it's a good weather, go out, take a lot of pictures of your garden, and then you can look at those pictures during the winter and figure out what you need to buy next year, what you may want to move around next year. But if you have all those pictures, you don't have to rely on your memory. Now is a great time to think about moving and adding perennials if the weather is good. Just treat them well. And water them, keep watering them, keep them as healthy as you can till the fall. Once they die down to the ground, the first year you put those new perennials in or move those perennials, you may want to add a little protection, winter protection, put some leaves on top just for the first season, just to give them a little extra protection their first year out. Next year you won't have to do anything. Good luck.
All right. This is a good lawn question, I think, grass seed question. Actually, last week you talked about the best grass seed. What is the best grass seed? Where's the best place to get the best seed? Last year I bought expensive seed, and it produced mostly weeds. So yeah, I guess just because grass seed is expensive doesn't mean it's good stuff for our area, right?
Right. What you want to look at, the best grass seed is the grass seed that will grow in your particular area, in your particular situation. Sun, shade, salt tolerance, durability, whatever. So you want to probably start at your garden centers and read the package. Have the garden center people help you. Read the package for what seeds are in there. It will tell you whether they're Kentucky bluegrass, whether they're an annual ryegrass, which a lot of them can have that in there. That's a filler. The annual grass will die. So you will have dead spots where those grasses were next spring. You want to look at the fescues they've got in there. You don't want anything like bent grass or anything like that in there. So the Extension website has some wonderful articles about what to look at for grass seed, because the kind of seed you put down is very important. And then the prep for the area is very important. And keeping it hydrated and taking care of it that first year is very important too. So there's a lot of little minutia to follow, but you can do it. It's not rocket science. The Extension website has some great articles. You can also talk to a master gardener at length at farmers markets, or send a master gardener a question on Ask a Master Gardener from the Extension website, also extension.umn.edu. So there's a lot of offerings, and we have some really good information at our local garden centers. That's where I would start if I was going to start putting grass seed in.
I was just going to say that. I know we have to break here, but we're so lucky to have such great garden centers here.
We do.
And I haven't been to all of them, but I know that I've had great luck myself. Mm-hmm. At Bachman's. In fact, yep. I got a call Dale Bachman. I haven't talked to him in a long time. And also at Gerton's. I got a call my friend Gino there. I haven't talked to him in a long time. But both of those places I've had good luck with, just to name a couple. But we have other great garden centers as well.
And you know, they're Teresa all says, local, so they yeah. really want to help you. They know their stuff. And they have people just that are waiting. They're like, it's almost like master gardeners. They're like just waiting to talk to you about seeds or plants or something. And they're very knowledgeable, and they want you to succeed too.
Teresa, our friend Julie sent me, always good to have some extra info here. A good resource of ours is the Dividing Perennials webpage.
Yep.
On the
on the Extension website, yeah.
Yeah. Also have a webpage on buying grass seed in the lawn section, which is another great section.
Yep. It's that. The lawn section is amazing there.
Yeah.
And as I've been honest before, I don't have a lawn, but I do know about lawns, and I have researched them and taken classes on them. So I try to give you really good information.
Yeah.
But yeah, that Extension website's amazing.
Extension.umn.edu. We'll take this break. Be right back on the other side with more of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. We are here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, it was just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering those questions. You know, Teresa, for those that maybe have joined us later in the show, you and I talked about the Master Gardener program. Some exciting news for those that have an interest in that. Tell us more.
We did. So the Master Gardener program is now open for people to apply to the program. You have until October 1st to apply. It's very easy. You apply, you fill out a little form, and then when you're accepted into the program, you take your course in January. It's a self-guided course that you complete. You need to complete that within a year on your own time. Then that's all online, so it's whenever you fit it into your schedule. And the Master Gardeners also offer, I think it's once a week, a live Zoom class that any students can join in. If you like working with other people and talking to other people, you can work through the class that together as a group. There is a cost to the program, $340 to $399. There is financial aid available. Do not think that if you can't afford it, that is a barrier. All people are welcome to join the Master Gardener program. We encourage everyone who's interested. If you like to learn about gardening, you like research-based information when you're gardening, and you want to share that information with your community, you are possibly a Master Gardener, or probably. If you want more information, you can go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. There's an article there on how to become a Master Gardener. It will get you all the information you need, or contact your local Extension office, or talk to a local Master Gardener and get more information. They'll be happy to help you. And looking at the Extension website, I just have to laugh. Our last caller or texter had a question on lawn grass, and I have the system up. And right there, the third article down, buying turf grass seed for Minnesota. It's right there.
Right.
You know, it's right on top. So you could get that information right on the website. And then if I can just mention the State Fair, Master Gardeners will be at the State Fair. Please come and see us. We will be in the Horticulture Building. There'll be a table of us just waiting to talk to you and answer your questions. And many Master Gardeners will be presenting on the dirt stage certain topics for what they're interested in. So come and see us at the State Fair. We would love to see you.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'll be on our CCO radio veranda there, mm-hmm. with Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi.
Uh-huh. Oh, John. Okay.
Yeah. I believe that's the story.
You got it down. Yeah.
So yeah. That'll be, I'm anxious to, of course, to do that. That's always fun. Yeah. With those two.
So you can put faces to the name, to the voices you hear on the radio.
But Julie and John, you'll be pleased. But
oh no, Denny! Yeah, Denny is quite handsome and dapper in his own way. Yes,
yes. Let's hear more. all right, thanks, Teresa. Now, there's something that I was talking to my daughter about this too. But we are getting so many texts about problems with lilac bushes. Mm-hmm. What's going on with those? There's lots of problems.
Yep, there's one or two things going on with your lilacs. A lot of it is our humid weather, the wet springs that we're getting. There's like a wilt or a fungus that gets in there and knocks them back a little bit. Normally they can recover the next year. The Extension website has some great information about what's going on with the lilacs. So we just want to make sure that you're treating them as gently as you can. If the branch is dead where you start pruning at the end and it's just brown, you can prune back to where you see some green. I probably wouldn't do any pruning on that right now. I'd probably wait till the plant has gone dormant, just because I don't want to be causing any extra growth there. If something's dead, you can definitely take it out. But the Extension website has some great information. These are problems we've been seeing for the last two or three years after we went through so many years of drought and the plants were all stressed, and then all of a sudden we got our humid springs back again. It just kind of knocked all those poor little plants back. So,
all right.
Yeah.
This texter said, I sent a message to the U Extension, found out that I have powdery mildew on my peony. Is there anything I should do about it this fall? Do I cut back the stems? It seems to be getting worse.
Okay, so powdery mildew is like endemic to our area. It's in the air. There's nothing you can really do for it, except what you can do is, this year there's nothing to worry about. If the stems just look still, or the leaves still are green, but they're under a powdery mildew, when we get water like the rain, you'll notice that after this rainstorms go by and we get some bright weather, that hopefully the leaves are bright green again. As long as they're green, they're still photosynthesizing. Peonies, you want to clean up to the soil once the plant dies back, and do that every year. Discard that product. You can send it to the city compost or put it in your trash. Don't put it in your compost. But powdery mildew will happen many years with our damp weather, our humid weather. It just, the leaves get damp and then the mildew can grow on there. It's just, we all know what mildew is. So it's just because it's damp. If we can grab more air circulation and get some bright sun on there, that really helps so the plants can dry out more quickly. You can grow resistant varieties. With most plants, however, the powdery mildew is not a life-threatening thing for the plants. And then also, what else was I going to say? Just clean up really well. Get that stuff out of your yard if possible. And if you see it every year and you want to take care of it, note when you see it on your plant, and then next year you can use a fungicide on those plants like a week or two before you start seeing it. And you may have to reapply that during the season. Just read and follow the label instructions. But for most plants, it's just like a little cold. It's not a big thing that's going to kill them.
Teresa, less than 2 minutes to go on the show. I'm going to try to grab one more text here. Should you cut some branches off an indeterminate tomato plant?
You can. Yep, you can. If they don't have flowers on them and you don't need them and you want some more sun in there, go ahead. Yes, you can.
All right. Is there any truth to beer killing or drowning the slugs that chew holes in hostas? That's our final one.
There is truth. The yeasty smell attracts them. They fall into the cup, and if they can't get out, they drown. So it will work. Your dog will also drink the beer and the dead slugs and things like that, too, which kind of grosses me out. But it can help. It is something that can help.
All right, Teresa.
And use the cheap beer. Don't use the expensive stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
don't you drink the expensive stuff. Yeah. Use the cheap stuff.
And for those that did not get it, give us that extension website again, please.
extension.umn.edu.
Okay.
And good luck. And
get to the Arboretum.
Get to the Arb. Get to the State Fair. Find Master Gardeners. Apply to the program. Grow your garden. Be happy. And good luck to everybody.
All right. Thanks so much, Teresa. Always fun. Thanks for all the help this morning.
Thank you.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Yeah, you can meet those folks at the Hort Building. You can also come by our WCCO Broadcast Center at the Minnesota State Fair 1 week from today. We're going to be there that first Saturday doing our usual shows from the fairgrounds. And Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappi, our turf guru, will be there, both be there. So come and ask your questions to us live.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most, exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.